We turn now in our Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, which we've been studying for quite some time now, and eventually we will come to the end of three more messages, including this morning's. Jeremiah chapter 50, page 677 in the Pew Bibles. It's a long chapter, but you can take heart. The next chapter is even longer. The word that the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, concerning the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet, declare among the nations and proclaim, set up a banner and proclaim, conceal it not, and say, Babylon is taken, Bel is put to shame, Merodach is dismayed, her images are put to shame, her idols are dismayed. For out of the north a nation has come up against her, which shall make her land a desolation, and none shall dwell in it. Both man and beast shall flee away. In those days and in that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah shall come together, weeping as they come, and they shall seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with faces turned toward it, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will never be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold. All who found them have devoured them. And their enemies have said, we're not guilty, for they have sinned against the Lord, their habitation of righteousness, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and go out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as male goats before the flock. For behold, I am stirring up and bringing against Babylon a gathering of nations from the north country, and they shall array themselves against her. From there she shall be taken. Their arrows are like a skilled warrior who does not return empty-handed. Chaldea shall be plundered. All who plunder her shall be sated, declares the Lord. Though you rejoice, though you exult, O plunderers of my heritage, though you frolic like a heifer in the pasture and neigh like stallions, your mother shall be utterly shamed, and she who bore you shall be disgraced. Behold, she shall be the last of nations, a wilderness, a dry land, a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be an utter desolation. Everyone who passes by Babylon shall be appalled and hiss, because of all her wounds. Set yourselves in array against Babylon all around, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Raise a shout against her all around. She has surrendered. Her bulwarks have fallen, her walls are thrown down. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. Do to her as she has done. Cut off Babylon from the sower and the one who handles the sickle in time of harvest. Because of the sword of the oppressor, everyone shall turn to his own people, and everyone shall flee to his own land. Israel is a hunted sheep driven away by lions. First the king of Assyria devoured him, and now at last Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has gnawed his bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing punishment on the king of Babylon and his land, as I punished the king of Assyria. I will restore Israel to his pasture, and he shall feed on Carmel and in Bashan, and his desire shall be satisfied on the hills of Ephraim and in Gilead. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, iniquity shall be sought in Israel, and there shall be none, and sin in Judah, and none shall be found. For I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Go up against the land of Marathaim and against the inhabitants of Pekad. Kill and devote them to destruction, declares the Lord, and do all that I have commanded you. The noise of battle is in the land and great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth is cut down and broken. How Babylon has become a horror among the nations. I set a snare for you, and you were taken, O Babylon, and you did not know it. You were found and caught because you opposed the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and brought out the weapons of his wrath. For the Lord God of hosts has a work to do in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from every quarter. Open her granaries. Pile her up like heaps of grain and devote her to destruction. Let nothing be left of her. Kill all her bulls. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. A voice. They flee and escape from the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for his temple. Summon archers against Babylon, all those who bend the bow and camp around her. Let no one escape. Repay her according to her deeds. Do to her according to all she has done. For she has proudly defied the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men shall fall in her squares, and all her soldiers shall be destroyed on that day, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O proud one, declares the Lord of hosts, for your day has come, the time when I will punish you. The proud one shall stumble and fall, with none to raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it will devour all that is around him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the people of Israel are oppressed, and the people of Judah with them. All who took them captive have held them fast. They refuse to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will surely plead their cause that they may give rest to the earth, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword against the Chaldeans, declares the Lord, and against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her officials and her wise men. A sword against the diviners, that they may become fools. A sword against her warriors, that they may be destroyed. A sword against her horses and against her chariots and against all the foreign troops in her midst, that they may become women. A sword against all her treasures, that they may be plundered. A drought against her waters, that they may be dried up, for it is a land of images, and they are mad over idols. Therefore, wild beasts shall dwell with hyenas in Babylon, and ostriches shall dwell in her. She shall never again have people, nor be inhabited for all generations. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities, declares the Lord, so no man shall dwell there. And no son of man shall sojourn in her. Behold, a people comes from the north. A mighty nation and many kings are stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. They lay hold of bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. The sound of them is like the roaring of the sea. They ride on horses, arrayed as a man for battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon heard the report of them, and his hands fell helpless. Anguish seized him, pain as of a woman in labor. Behold, like a lion coming up from the thicket of the Jordan against a perennial pasture, I will suddenly make them run away from her, and I will appoint over her whomever I choose. For who is like me? Who will summon me? What shepherd can stand before me? Therefore, hear the plan that the Lord has made against Babylon, and the purposes that he has formed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the little ones of their flock shall be dragged away. Surely their fold shall be appalled at their fate. At the sound of the capture of Babylon, the earth shall tremble, and her cry shall be heard among the nations. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless it to our hearts and lives. Congregation of Christ, Jeremiah wrote in the book that's called by his name of judgment, which would come upon all the nations. He told of judgment coming upon Egypt, on Philistia, and on Moab, on Ammon and Edom, on Damascus, the capital of Syria, on the desert kingdoms of Kedar and Hazar, and on the very distant land, at least from the perspective of Judah, of Elam. The primary way that God would bring his judgment on those nations was by giving them into the hands of the Babylonians. God was punishing his own people, the people of Judah, who had rebelled against him. And the nations which surrounded Judah would not escape the judgment either. We saw that in chapter 49, where God said to Edom, "If those who did not deserve to drink the cup must drink it, will you go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, but you must drink." Well, chapters 50 and 51 take up the judgment of Babylon, the nation which God used to bring his judgment on his wayward people, and on all the nations around them would itself be judged. This morning, we can summarize the teaching of chapter 50 in 5 points. The first one is this: the fall of Babylon will be total. The destruction will be complete. Look at verse 3. "For out of the north a nation has come up against her, which shall make her land a desolation, and none shall dwell in it. Both man and woman shall flee away." Babylon will become desolate. No one will dwell in it. Look at verse 13. "Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be an utter desolation. Everyone who passes by Babylon shall be appalled and hiss because of all her wounds." Saddam Hussein once thought about rebuilding Babylon, but it still remains desolate even today. Verse 26 says, "Come against her from every quarter, open her granaries, pile her up like heaps of grain, and devote her to destruction. Let nothing be left of her." Nothing is to be left of Babylon. Like the nations that Israel was to destroy when they entered the promised land, Babylon is devoted to destruction. In verses 35 to 37, God calls for a sword against Babylon, against its inhabitants, its officials, its wise men, its diviners, its warriors, and even its horses and chariots and treasures. In verse 38, he calls for a drought against her waters. In verse 39, he says, "Babylon will become a place where wild beasts and hyenas and ostriches live. Never again will she have inhabitants." Babylon will be like when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities. No man shall dwell there, and no son of man shall sojourn in her. Babylon's destruction will be total. The second point is this: God is the one who is going to do it. He may be using human armies, but he is doing it. Nations from the north will come and bring Babylon down. But never should you think that these things occur as chance happenings in history. Nations rise and fall because the Lord raises them up and the Lord brings them down. Look at verse 9. For behold, I am stirring up and bringing against Babylon a great gathering of nations, a gathering of great nations from the north country. Verse 13. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but shall be in utter desolation. The Lord does it. It's His anger. Verse 15, it's His vengeance. Raise a shout against her from all around. She has surrendered. Her bulwarks have fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. Do to her as she has done. Verse 18. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing punishment on the king of Babylon and his land as I punished the king of Assyria. I am bringing punishment. Verse 25. The Lord has opened his armory and brought out the weapons of his wrath. For the Lord God of hosts has a work to do in the land of the Chaldeans. God's opened up his arsenal against Babylon. God is doing his work. We must never detach the course of human history from the work of God. God is at work in the rise and fall of empires. That's the teaching of Scripture throughout the Bible from beginning to end. And it applies to empires of the past, and it applies to present nations and empires and future ones. God is the one doing it. Point 3 deals with the reason for the punishment that God is bringing to pass. The reason for the punishment that God is bringing to pass. There are two things under this point to note. The first is that God is bringing judgment on Babylon for its idolatry and false religion. And you can see that immediately as the chapter opens in verse 2. Declare among the nations and proclaim, set up a banner, conceal it not, and say, Babylon is taken. Bel is put to shame. Merodach is dismayed. Her images are put to shame. Her idols are dismayed. Babylon was a great place of idolatry and false worship. Her gods are mentioned in verse 2. Bel and Merodach, otherwise known as Marduk. The Lord will show all the nations that the gods of Babylon are nothing. In verse 36, the diviners are mentioned. The diviners occupied an important place in the religious and political makeup of Babylon. A sword will come against them. In taking vengeance on Babylon, the Lord is punishing them for their idol worship and idolatry. And we'll see more of that in chapter 51 next time. But there's another reason why Babylon is being punished so severely. It's because of the pillage of Judah. The Babylonians destroyed God's people. Babylon attacked God's people and conquered them. And in the attacking of the people of God, they were attacking God. And therefore, God is going to attack Babylon and conquer them. Now, that's a simple way of saying it. But as we'll see in a minute, it's really a little more complicated than that. Look at verse 10. Chaldea shall be plundered, All who plundered her shall be sated, declares the Lord. The plundering of Babylon, which is called by its older name Chaldea, is coming. But why? Verse 17. Because Israel is a hunted sheep driven away by lions. First the king of Assyria devoured him, and now at last Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has gnawed his bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing punishment on the king of Babylon and his land as I punish the king of Assyria. Babylon will be punished because she hunted down the people of God. Another prophet, Zechariah, wrote the following words in a similar context. The context is still Babylon. Zechariah 2 verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. You can't touch the people of God without touching what God loves. His people are the apple of his eye. By the way, that's figure of speech. The pupil of his eye. What happens if you touch your pupil? You blink, it's sensitive. God is sensitive to what happens to his people. And when Babylon hunted down the people of God, they did it in arrogance. They did it in opposition to the Lord. Look at verse 24. I set a snare before you, and you were taken, O Babylon, and you did not know it. You were found and caught because you opposed the Lord. Verse 29, summon archers against Babylon, all those who bend the bow. Encamp around her, let no one escape. Repay her according to her deeds. Do to her according to all that she has done, for she has proudly defied the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. In verse 31, I am against you, O proud one, declares the Lord God of hosts, for your day has, the day has come, and I will punish you. That's why Babylon will be punished. She's proud and defiant. And in her arrogance, she dared to touch the people that God loves. In her arrogance, she opposed the Lord. But it's a bit more complicated than that. For when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, Babylon was a servant of God. When Babylon attacked Judah, Babylon was doing God's work. God wanted to punish his people, Jerusalem and Judah, so he raised up Babylon to do it. But now, Babylon is going to be punished for doing God's work, for doing what God had sent Babylon to do. Read again verses 6 and 7. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold. All who found them have devoured them, and their enemies have said, we are not guilty, for they have sinned against the Lord, their habitation of righteousness, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. The enemies of Judah felt justified in doing what they did to God's people. We're not guilty, they said. We're only carrying out God's plan. Judah sinned against their God, and he raised us up to punish them. Well, it's true they were doing that. They were acting as God's rod of punishment, but it didn't render them not guilty. What we see here is the intersection of divine sovereignty and human willfulness. God uses human willfulness. He used Babylonian sinfulness to bring about his just purposes of punishing Judah. The people of Babylon weren't seeking to please God when they destroyed Judah. They were rejoicing that they could put God down, the God of Judah, Yahweh, who couldn't look after his own people properly. In their hearts, they were willfully defiant against the God of all the world when they came to destroy Jerusalem. But God was using their willfulness, their sinfulness, to bring about his plan and purpose, the punishment of Judah. This way that God uses this willing, sinful actions of men to bring to pass his just purposes is found many places in Scripture. A fairly well-known place is in Genesis 50, verse 20. The brothers of the patriarch Joseph willfully and sinfully sold their brother as a slave. And there was murder in their hearts, but God used one of the brothers to restrain them from committing murder. What the brothers did to Joseph was wicked, but God used it for good. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about what many people should be kept alive this day. You have another example of it in Acts chapter 2. Nothing was more wicked and worthy of God's wrath than when sinners crucified Jesus. God used the wickedness of sinful people to murder the Prince of Life in order to save the world. Acts 2:23. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God is so sovereign that he rules over humans who have real wills which rebel against God. And even though they're in rebellion against God, God still uses it for his purposes to bring about his ends. That doesn't render them innocent. Judas wasn't innocent when he betrayed Jesus. The Jewish leaders weren't innocent when they brought false charges against our Lord, demanding that he be put to death. Pontius Pilate wasn't innocent when he delivered Jesus over to them to be crucified. But their willful sinfulness brought to pass what God had determined and wanted to happen. The Babylonians rose up to defeat the people of God, and thus they rose up against God, just as the Assyrians had done. The Assyrians boasted of their gods over against Israel's God. When they came up to Jerusalem, they told the people not to let Hezekiah convince them that their God would deliver them. None of the nations' gods around them had ever delivered them. Their point was that Israel's God wasn't a match for their gods. The Babylonians had the same kind of arrogance. In the book of Daniel, you see God confronting Nebuchadnezzar himself with that arrogance and humbling him. But God used the arrogance of the Babylonians to punish the people of Judah. And because they were arrogant to touch the people of Judah, the apple of the Lord's eye, God is now going to punish the defiant, arrogant Babylonians. And he punishes Babylon so that they will be an example to the world. Again, verse 2, proclaim it to the nations. Verse 23, how Babylon has become a horror to the nations. Babylon was destroyed overnight. While the king was feasting, Darius the Mede broke into the city, and Belshazzar, then king of Babylon, was killed. The empire that appeared so mighty fell so quickly. As strong as it appeared, it was done away with overnight. Let the nations take warning. But chapter 50 isn't only about judgment on Babylon and the reasons for it. It's also about God's redemption of Israel. Point 4. Israel and God's people Judah are going to be redeemed. Verses 33 and 34. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the people of Israel are oppressed, and the people of Judah with them. All who took them captive have held them fast. They refuse to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will surely plead their cause, that he may give rest to the earth, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. God will vigorously defend the cause of his people. The people who are taken into exile in Babylon are not lost. And not only will Judah be rescued from Babylon, all the scattered Israelites from the Assyrian Empire will be gathered together again. The divorce that occurred in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam will be healed. Verse 4. In those days, and in that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah shall come together, weeping as they come, and shall seek the Lord their God. But when? It says, in those days, and in that time. Verse 5 says, they shall ask the way to Zion with faces turned toward it, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will never be forgotten. That's partially fulfilled in the return of the Jews from captivity. They ask the way back to Zion and seek to be restored to covenant relationship with their God. But notice it's called an everlasting covenant. And in verse 20, it says, in those days and in that time, declares the Lord, iniquity shall be sought in Israel and there shall be none, and sin in Judah and none shall be found. For I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. That wasn't fulfilled when after 70 years God's people returned to their land. It's saying that no longer would there be sin in the people of God. It's only in Jesus' death and resurrection that we see the fulfillment of these promises. It's only in Jesus' death and resurrection that the kingdom comes, which brings true forgiveness to the people of God. It's only in Jesus' death and resurrection that we see the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, where people are in a living relationship with God, not only in this age, but in the age to come and forever. The redemption of Christ has come. We just celebrated the glory of the resurrection last Sunday. But in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, which we read from this morning, we see the image of the fall of Babylon being taken up again. And so here's the final point, point 5. Babylon has fallen, but God's people still look forward to its fall. Babylon stands for all the arrogant human governments and empires, all the arrogant cities, Babel, Rome, Moscow, Berlin, Paris, London, Washington. It stands for all those who stand in defiance against God. For all who would rule the world without Him and oppress God's people. And from the time of the Tower of Babel, the first mention of Babylon, to the end of history, the kingdoms of this world try to build their one world governments. They try to bring about their new world orders, their third Reichs. But God will never be overthrown by human revolution or by man's rebellion. Christians are looking forward to the fall of Babylon, even as Judah looked forward to the fall of Babylon. And they rejoice when it happens. Beware of contentment in Babylon. For we are the people who are looking forward to the fall of Babylon. More on that next week. If you're the people of God, you're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, one in which righteousness dwells. The Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar has fallen, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ has come. It's the kingdom which brings down every kingdom opposed to God. We were reminded of that a couple weeks ago when Fred Klett read for us, had us read Daniel chapter 2. The Babylon that we still have to face is under God's judgment, as was the Babylon of old. And God's people rejoice when it falls. Their hearts aren't glued to that earthly kingdom. Their hearts are bonded to Christ and to His kingdom. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty God, Father in heaven, thank You that You are sovereign over all the earth and that You bring down all Your enemies and the enemies of Your people. We thank You and rejoice, Lord, that You brought down Babylon, and that You bring down all the continuations of that opposition to You and to Your people. You've done that throughout history, and You'll continue to do it until Babylon the Great is totally overthrown. Lord, help us to rejoice in that. For this is Your victory over Babylon is our victory. And help us to live, Lord, as Your redeemed people, rejoicing in the redemption that comes in Jesus Christ, because it is He who is the victor over all Your enemies. And this morning, Heavenly Father, if there are any of us who are at ease in Babylon and enjoying its all that it has to offer, its pleasures, its wealth, and we're doing it in rebellion against You, Father, take us away from that. Help us to seek our treasure in You, in the new heavens and the new earth that You have made through Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers. In His name we pray. Amen.